I believe if we will learn to love people, it will optimize their growth. It won't guarantee it because all people have their agency, but it increases the likelihood of their development. Listen to what people are saying with their hearts. Receive them to yourself. Don't be so quick to rush in with your teachings. Remember, you have two ears and one mouth. Use them accordingly. You really can't influence people until they feel they have influence with you. That is, that you understand them. Most people don't listen with the intent to understand. They listen with the intent to reply. So listen with the intent to understand, not to shape someone else, not to reply. Because once you understand, then you can teach, because you have received the person yourself. And now you can share of yourself with that person. We have to begin on the level of the person we are trying to help. I have dear friends who are serving a part-time inner-city mission as their church calling. They tell me that they focus almost entirely on meeting the most pressing and obvious needs of the people in their area, such as finding a job, making ends meet, dealing with a major discipline problem in the family, trying to get custody after a divorce proceeding, getting the home and family clean and organized, and dealing with different kinds of health problems, sanitary issues, abuse, violence, and on and on. I asked my friends if they try to teach the gospel. They basically said no. All we're doing is just meeting the urgent needs of the moment, of survival, and coping with life itself. That reminds me of the Savior spending a good portion of his life doing exactly this kind of work, healing, feeding, meeting basic needs before he attempted to teach the truths of the kingdom. Relationships must be established first, caring, affirming, serving relationships. On my first mission in Great Britain, I was close to a very powerful and persuasive elder who was instrumental in converting an extremely competent and successful businessman. This convert was ultimately called by the brethren to be a stake president. The elder who had converted him on returning home from his mission fell into an intellectual state of apostasy, and after obtaining several advanced degrees, became a prominent academician. His was the classic case warned of by Jacob in the Book of Mormon. When they are learned, they think they are wise, and they hearken not unto the counsel of God, for they set it aside, supposing they know of themselves. At that time, stake presidents were invited annually to attend General Conference, probably so that they could get a vision of the larger church and receive instruction and training. The stake president had heard how his converting elder had fallen away, and he wanted to see him on one of these trips to General Conference. They communicated with each other and made arrangements to meet in New York when the president changed planes there on his way back to England after the conference had concluded. They were to have spent at least 2 hours with each other, but because of mechanical problems on the flight from Salt Lake to New York, they ended up having only 2 minutes. If you were the stake president, what would you do if you could spend just 2 minutes face-to-face with the missionary who had brought you into the church and who himself had fallen away? Just think about what words you would say, what you would do. You have only 2 minutes as you run from one gate to catch your international flight at another gate. This humble, faithful stake president was very wise. What he said and did demonstrated the power and importance of affirming another person. He said to the elder, "Elder, it's marvelous to see you. I am so happy to see you. You taught me the gospel and brought me into the church, and have blessed my life and the life of my family eternally. I cannot thank you enough." Then, having given this powerful affirmation to the disaffected elder, the president asked one simple question that stirred the young man into temporary humility and a sense of stewardship again. The president said, "I have given my whole life to this church. Have I made a mistake?" There was a long pause, and the stake president let the Spirit do its work in that pause. In other words, he submitted himself again to this elder, his teacher. The elder started to tear up, and then he broke down and said, "No, you have not made a mistake, but I have." They embraced, and the stake president ran to his next flight. The key to human influence is first to be influenced. That is, to first understand where people's hearts and heads are. When the stake president showed his willingness to be influenced by the elder, he brought the barriers down. My son David learned this principle himself while he was on his mission. One particular contact had no interest at all in David's message. But when David saw this man's interest in the Beatles and expressed his own liking for their music, a connection was formed and a relationship established. The trust and identification in that relationship opened up a communication channel so the gospel could be taught and received. A few years later, the man was ordained a bishop.